My dad, God rest his soul, he always said to me that, you know, whatever it is that you do, just go for it and give it 100%. And so I've always sort of worn that on my sleeve, really. And I sort of feel that, you know, it, as opposed to sort of just being a bit complacent and just like opening up and, you know, like ripping the rent off of the staff and just going home and not caring about a thing, I think, well, just go and do something else, you know. And so I deeply care for, you know, like the brand and the company and everybody in it. I don't think there's anything wrong in sort of like doing external industry things, but don't allow it to consume you to a point where it has a negative effect on you not being there for the business. Yeah. You know, for me, I've sort of said to myself, right, here's my year as a whole. I'm happy to invest some time here, here and here. I'll still go to Barber Connect. I'll still go to Sun International. Right, but you know, I'm just not going to unnecessarily load myself up with too many commitments that take me away from what is important, which is the business that puts the food on my table.
The things that we've done that are about the team or us doing something get way much more interest than, you know, a before and after haircut.
It's, you know, and the audience don't care about the haircuts.
They're done.
You know, you can pour your heart and soul into, like, you know, making a haircut look amazing. Yeah. Take a photo of it. Go, oh mate, that's gonna pop off. And it just hardly gets any engagement whatsoever.
No, it's a tough shout. And then you've gone the other side now, where you'll find there is clients. You can see their backs go up as soon as the barber brings his ring light out. It's coming for a haircut, mate. Yeah. Welcome to The Noble Barber. This is a podcast for barbers by barbers, cutting through the crap of the industry. We all want to know how our businesses can run better. I want to talk to people who've done it, messed it up and got it right second time round, and can tell us the way that you and I can make our businesses better. Hi, welcome to another episode of The Noble Barber. Had a great chat with Alex once already, and we wanted to continue the chat, so we've gone for a part two, if that's all right. Really focusing a bit more. I think the last one we spoke a lot about you, Alex, and now this, I think we agreed it'd be nice to have a bit more of a talk about Teddy Edwards and the way that's impacted yours and everyone else's life.
Yeah, absolutely.
So as you said previously, you know, you're a decade in.
Yeah.
And I think one thing I said to you when I first met you is I'm always amazed that you've got your three stores, you've got all your people, and then you're so active. You know, you pop up in so much stuff, whether it's fellowship stuff or competition or magazine. You know, you seem to have this kind of, I thought there was maybe two or three of you. And how that's been, you know, have you been doing that over, for me, my perception's probably over the last year, 18 months. Or has that been longer for you?
I suppose it's been a longer thing in the making. Last year was a big year anyway. You know, I went for quite a few awards last year, to which we were nominated in the end. We were sort of finalists for three in the end, which was a huge honour by Modern Barber Magazine. You know, great bunch of guys. You know, it's a fantastic company that are really sort of driving the standards. So to be, you know, sort of sharing names and being sort of finalists in such a, you know, sort of a like amazing company like Modern Barber is amazing, really. So I'm fucking waffling there.
What did you finalize in? So you got interior, didn't you? Was that for Worthing?
So Worthing got best shop interior. And then we got best client experience for Worthing as well. Yeah. And then I was a finalist for best all round barber. It was a big thing. But
a lot of effort into that.
It is a lot of work. I think it occupies your bandwidth quite a lot. You know, when you get given the notification that you've ended up becoming a finalist, it does take up a lot of your bandwidth, even though you think that it doesn't. You know, I think, you know, you then want to like keep up with the Joneses and, you know, sort of keep up your social media and drive that forward and sort of, you know, you want to stand out from the crowd and do your bit in the vain hope that you scoop the gong.
Nudge it up, yeah.
So it does take up a lot of your time and a lot of the effort. And I advise anyone out there that is looking to do it is just to approach it with a bit of caution, because, you know, it's not easy to keep your eye on the ball within the business, whether it's, you know, you're just running your own micro business under a barbershop, or whether you do have a salon yourself and you've got to like manage the teams effectively and, you know, manage your own client base effectively, you've still got that bit to look after as well. So, and then as far as like the fellowship goes, you know, it's it's an initiative out there, which is great for networking. It, you know, it puts you in touch with people that you normally wouldn't get to meet. You know, I made some great friends through the fellowship, and so it made some real good lifelong friends. And again, it's good to meet other salon owners, you know, that have different experiences that you can draw from, and also share yourself.
So, I mean, with that, is marketing you, or have you had other people involved in kind of PR and marketing and all your social media? How do you, who does that?
So up until last year, I did everything myself. Okay. So everything that the brand has gone through has been pretty much me. But, you know, I sort of felt that there was only sort of so far that I could take it. Mm. So last year I sort of partnered up with Julie Gibb from Gorgeous PR.
Okay, yeah.
Absolute legend. Shout out to Julie. an amazing woman. She's been like invaluable, really. And
does that bring more work to your place though? Or, you know, it, for you, I mean, obviously it's about promoting the business, but does that then, must take more energy and more time from your point of view?
Because I mean, I do have hopes and aspirations for the brands, like eventually. I'd love to sort of see where, you know, how far we can take it.
Yeah, of course.
I've always sort of been in sort of the mindset of you've got to be in it to win it. And my dad, God rest his soul, he always said to me that, you know, if whatever it is that you do, just go for it and give it 100%. And so I've always sort of worn that on my sleeve, really. I sort of feel that, you know, it, as opposed to sort of just being a bit complacent and just like opening up and, you know, like ripping the rent off of the staff and just going home and not caring about things. I think, well, I'll just go and do something else, you know? And so I deeply care for, you know, like the brand and the company and everybody in it.
And enjoyed the aspects. Are there bits of promoting that you loved and bits that maybe
not so much?
You know, I mean, I think we're very known on this. Yeah. I try and make us talk about the things that don't go right as well as do, and the things we like as opposed to.
Absolutely, yeah.
But if it's all been clean sailing and you love it, then
no,
great.
I wouldn't say it's been clean sailing. There's definitely, I've had brand partnerships in the past that haven't sort of like maybe sort of gone the way that, you know, I thought they would have gone. But you know, but then on the other side of it as well, you know, I've you know, sort of partnered up with some like with Mataki Scissors, for example, James and Emma, who are like they're not just just another brand. You know, they're good, loyal people, and you know that they care deeply about the people that they have, like, you know, as mentors and ambassadors. Yeah. And you know, it's good to see that they actually really genuinely do look after those people. And so yeah, it's, you know, it is a brand building and being involved in other brands and partnering up with them is a real fine line to walk, because, you know, our time is very valuable. You know, you don't want to go investing all your time for free. And I think that happens way too much in our industry. You know, I think there's too many people that just mug us off, like by dangling a carrot in front of us by saying, oh, if you do this, this and this, you're going to get this. And then they don't, you know, and it's like, you know, we're professionals and, you know, we've got, you know, families to feed and roofs to put over our head. So, you know,
we're all physically working quite hard along the way as well.
Absolutely.
You know, when I go to, you know, any of the exhibitions or any of the seminars and that kind of stuff, you can see, you know, so many of those people are doing it for nothing.
Yeah.
You know, or, you know, doing it to build themselves, build their profile, or, you know, or just to give back.
Yeah.
And that's time consuming.
It's really time consuming. And I think, you know, if everyone can sort of shift their mindset a little bit of like that, they're happy to maybe sort of like invest like 10% of their year into some things that they're probably not going to like earn any money out of. But I also think that being active and involved within the industry also kind of helps us to elevate that industry. Yeah. So I think it's about being clear of what you're getting out of the time spent, you know, and again, it's like photo shoots. You know, I shudder to think the amount of money that people spend on photo shoots and don't do anything with it, or don't get the necessary mileage out of those photo shoots as well.
I mean, we've had some photographers on here and we've spoken to Ian Harold's done quite a lot with American Legend. Crew and all that kind of thing. And you've had a couple of good collections.
Yeah. So I work with Chris Bielczyk, who I've known for many years. We kind of almost sort of started roughly about the same time. His studio was like one road away from our original shop. So he came in one day just drumming up business and, you know, we've been good friends ever since. And so, yeah.
But what do you do with your, I mean, so let's go for the, what do you do with yours and how do you get the money's worth out of it? And what do you expect to spend on a collection?
Well, I mean, it's hard to sort of quantify because each time we've done it, it's been for a different reason. So there was once it was for the American All-Star Challenge.
Okay.
The American Crew All-Star Challenge. So it was one for that. And then the other ones, I enjoy doing them because it's almost like it's the creative side of the process that I just love doing. You know, for me, it breaks the ear up. Instead of just stood behind the chair day in, day out, cutting air. It's like, right, well, I have all these ideas locked up in my head, especially like when, you know, I'm just sat around just chilling and relaxing and maybe having a few drinks, or whatever. I think, oh, wouldn't it be cool if you could do this? And doing photo shoots allows you to
creativity.
Yeah, and it's great. You know, you can get the team inspired as well. So like on the last photo shoot, we got James and Charlie involved. And I got them to assist me and sort of share that vision. So yeah, it was good.
There's a lot of photography now being created.
Yeah,
and I guess there's more and more outlets for it. You know, like also, you know, Modern Barber. There's places that are running them. Do you feel that you've got a good vehicle through, or is it Julie that's really kind of helped feed those photos into the business?
I don't know. Again, it's I don't think you can just sort of like hire a PR and expect them to do all the work. You know, you've got to be driving it yourself as well. And you know, for me, especially, you know, if I'm like flicking through like the latest copy of Modern Barber, for example, and I'm like looking at the photo shoots, I'm not sort of playing down to like what other work people produce, but I just think, you know, I always sort of try and like put our own stamp on it and put our own little twist on things just so you stand out from the crowd a little bit more. I always try and think, what can we do different? You know, and you know, I love the idea of sort of, as I say, just sort of like pushing that creative boundary a bit.
And it's getting that idea, which, you know, always seems quite clear in your head that what Teddy's mean or Teddy Edwards mean.
Yeah.
You call it Teddy's or is Teddy?
Yeah, it is Teddy's, Teddy Edwards, yeah.
That's what it means. You know, you've got a good clear idea of what it stands for, what it should be
being. I've always been driven by the fact that that the shops, I always sort of try and sort of separate the look of the shops from like the sort of blueprint that everybody else sort of seems to follow. I try to make them look a little bit unique, you know, and try to make them sort of stand out from the crowd a little bit to, you know, A, attract customers, but also to, you know, attract, you know, future potential staff as well.
Yep.
So, you know, I like to sort of try and create an environment. Like the one thing I've always said is that, like Teddy's is for me is always like the barbershop that I always wish that I could have worked in myself. I always got fed up of working in like the drab, boring barbershop, you know, and sort of, you know, where it was just all a little bit. And I think, well, it's really creative space. Why isn't the room creative, you know? So I try to have fun with that. And I think that then bleeds on into like the social media work that we do and the photo shoot, all the editorial stuff, you know, is just trying to sort of just put your own little twist on it and have fun with it. Yeah. That's the thing is.
And so with your social media, is that you or have you got all the team kind of, is there a regular nag going around that people should take some pictures of what they're up to? Or have you got people that collaborate and want to do it and send you way more than you actually can use?
I've got a bit of both. I've got, you know, some of the guys that work for me just, you know, they either don't want to do it or they don't have the confidence to do it. But I keep trying to push people to just get involved and just send me whatever there is. And I've noticed that, especially with a few of them, even over like the last year, where they've just forced themselves to do it and just like put a bit of trust in the process, that they've actually then just through doing it, they're getting better. And, you know, I started my sort of journey on the social media. I kind of started ramping it up about a year and a half ago. And when you look at like the one that I did a year and a half ago, like the first reel that I did, it was shocking. It was crap. Like, whereas, you know, you just keep learning each time. And I just think about the long game, trust the process. And it's amazing the amount of people that come to me and say, oh, who does your social media? I say, well, it's me. And they're like, oh, really? You know, and it's, you know.
But you got to start. I mean, you know, not for me to say that the first one of these was terrible, but, you know, the more you do these things, the more natural it becomes.
And I think it's you know, social media again. I mean, that's another podcast all in itself about, you know, sort of, you know, like how much time you should invest in it and what you expect to get out of it. But, you know, I've spent money in the past with, you know, like people to come in and take photos and, you know, do all the posting, and the customers just don't engage with it at all. Whereas, I don't know, for whatever reason, if I put something up, it's almost like our audience knows that it's us putting it up and not a third party. And I just try to sort of almost like convey the, like the mood and the atmosphere of all the shops to attract new customers and just to keep people updated on what we're doing.
I think that's it. Everything does have its personality. We certainly see that, you know, the things that we've done that are about the team or us doing something get way much more interest than, you know, a before and after haircut.
It's, you know, and the audience don't care about the haircuts.
They're done. You know,
you can pour your heart and soul into, like, you know, making a haircut look amazing, take a photo of it, go, oh, mate, that's gonna pop off. And it just hardly gets any engagement whatsoever.
No, it's a tough shout. And then you've gone the other side now where you'll find there is clients, you can see their backs go up as soon as the barber brings his ring light out. It's coming for a haircut, mate. Yeah.
And it's, you know, and it's communicating to customers and just sort of saying, look, you know, do you mind if I just do this? You know, and I mean, even
that's
if
a really
I'm,
big part.
You know, and even if I'm going around the shop and just doing like a bit of a team mood thing, you know, I do say to customers, do you mind being in this? You know, it's just, it's again, just being sensitive and being professional.
Yeah, no, definitely. But, you know, I mean, business wise, we run things like we're properly opposite ends of it.
Because,
you know, I go for all my staff are employed.
Yep.
And that's what we do. And you run your business really differently. And, you know, yeah, your company's bigger than my company, so yours is presumably doing all right. Yeah, how does that work? How do you lay that out? How do you, you know, I guess with self-employed, the same questions tend to come up of, you know, how do you deal with staff training? You know, how do you deal with the actual day-to-day?
Yeah.
And can you build a team of self-employed business owners and still get that team dynamic?
It is, it's, you know, we, like the, when we first opened up, it was very much the, like the, like the driving message was, you know, we're like, we work as one, we work as a team, you know, but you're self-employed, you know. And especially since the pandemic, since lockdown and people like come back, everyone definitely had a much more of a, like a, an individual mindset, because I think, you know, people were just all in survival mode and quite rightly so. So I'm working really hard currently at the moment to kind of get that kind of mentality back into the shop, because, you know, on one hand, you know, you have a clear vision for the business of how that should look and how everyone should be treated. But at the same point, people still got to earn money, you know, and, you know, we can't afford to put people on a wage, and our staff can't afford to be put on a wage because they've been self-employed. So, you know, that, so it's a real tightrope. And it's something that we're working on like all the time at the moment to kind of like unify everything and make sure that everything is watertight. So, you know, if you do get like the government come knocking at your door, that we can turn around to them and say, look, you know, you know, we're a fully operational and legitimate business.
I mean, I think that's the big bit. I mean, when I, you know, I think I speak to a lot of people who you know, have a self-employed model, but very few people want to talk about it.
Yeah.
Because it's not properly nailed down.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think, again, like we're saying, that you know, there's all this grey area. I think with a lot of self-employed, when it's clean and it's tidy and it's right, fantastic. But I think there's an awful lot that are grey.
Well, there's that old phrase, isn't it? Is that strong fences make good neighbours, you know? Yeah. And I think that, you know, that really applies, especially when, you know, in our industry where things are sort of a bit like ambiguous and vague. You know, it's like, where do people stand? And it's about communicating with your staff in the right way so that everybody does know where they stand. Yeah. And you know, I like to think with the work that we're putting in at the minute is that everyone can have their cake and eat it, but it's about establishing those boundaries at the beginning and saying, like, look, in order for the business to survive and for you to run your business under the roof of this, the business needs to be watertight.
Yeah. And that's, as we've said previously, that kind of, yeah, there's definitely something that's going to be coming through our industry that the authorities are taking a strong look at more 100%. And more.
It's on the horizon.
And it's coming.
Yeah.
You know, and all you can do is just make sure that you've not got any leaks and everything.
Yeah, we just
fine.
Want to be ahead of the curve.
And that's, perfect. And I think ultimately, you know, the people that are working in your building will appreciate that because it keeps it clean.
And it keeps everything, you know, completely secure for everyone. Yeah. You know, everyone's livelihoods isn't affected because, you know, all we're doing is like adjusting the back end of it so that nothing changes at the front end, i.e. the shop. You know, so the day-to-day workings of the shop still stay the same.
But each of your team will end up with their, under a proper contract, that you have a proper, all your paperwork.
Yeah.
And that's the big bit that when I speak, certainly to younger guys or younger barbers, that it's so vague. They've got nothing written down. Their rent seems to change quite dramatically.
Yeah.
They're on a percentage that they're not taking their own money, that everything's going through the central and then they're paid a portion and that changes because towel rent will suddenly go, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and there's all this kind of net. And I listen to some people and I'm like, mate, you're just not self-employed.
No.
You've got no autonomy. You've got no control.
And it's through networking that, you know, I've come to meet Joe Mills from Wolfco and he's been like invaluable for me, you know, and I fully hold my hands up that, you know, that I wouldn't be in the position where I am now had it not been for, you know, networking and meeting other barbershop owners and salon owners and, you know, getting the right advice. Mm. And I think, you know, it's what we were brushing upon earlier about how lonely it can be being a business owner sometimes. And actually, if you're humble enough to, you know, to have a bit of a shout out and say, you know, can you please help me? You know, this area of the industry, you know, just bakes my brain a little bit and I don't know where to turn or what to do. Instead of just ignoring it, is I actually ask for help.
Yeah.
And it's amazing the amount of people out there that are willing to help.
No, I mean, I think that's been the amazing thing that certainly in the last year, 2 years, I've really come to aware of as a business community. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, there are people out there. But, you know, equally, I think, you know, I certainly, I've got no problem with whatever model works. Yeah, for me, we go with self-employed. I work I go with employed. We work hard to get the clients in. That's what we do. And and then the guys know what they're earning and they know what they're doing. And and that's my model and it's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. The only bit I always concern myself about how legitimate our industry is that this gray area.
Yeah.
That, you know, I really, really want to encourage everyone who is running a model that's got businesses within their business or their businesses that are within, that they get that clean and tidy, because I really, it's definitely going to change.
It's
going to be painful for a lot of people, and it's already painful in our industry now anyway. So getting that tidy, it's just vital.
You've definitely got to have your housekeeping in order. Mm. And it's, you know, it's about, as I say, like reaching out to people. If you don't know, you know, what to do and how to do it is just reach out. You know, I'm sure that, you know, anyone listening to this that owns a barbershop knows at least one other barbershop owner. So just, you know, just go and speak to them and see what they're doing. And as you said earlier, you know, it's almost like we've had a bit of a culture of, don't sort of talk about
it. Don't talk about it. You know, exactly like, that. And I think we do need to talk about it because it's going to be forced upon us at some point. And, you know, please, you know, do get in touch with us and we'll find people to bounce round to you. Yeah, I really think as an industry, the more legitimate, the more confident we are that you can shine lights into any of our corners, the better.
And anyone listening to this podcast as well, you know, please feel free to, you know, DM me on either like the Teddy Edwards page or my own personal page. And yeah, I'll be more than happy to.
No, we'll make sure that your link goes on there. But no, I do think that's it's really, really important. And equally for your team, you know, you sound like you've got a great team of people.
Yeah, they are. They're just an amazing crew of people. And, you know, excitedly, we've just taken on a new guy 2 weeks ago. And we've got somebody starting over in the woven shop soon. But yeah, apart from that, everyone's been there for a long, long, long time. And, you know, it's great to see. And I love sort of like building the teams up. It's a bit like football team management.
FIFA, but real.
Yeah.
On that, you know, I guess the other conversation that comes up about the self-employed is, and certainly at the moment where we're finding less and less apprentices coming into the hair and the barbering industry. You know, do you train? Do you take on graduates?
We haven't at the moment, but I'm keen to. But again, it's I think this is a bit of a recurring theme at the moment is, recently I was at the Modern Barber Magazine offices where they invited a load of people from like around the country to come and sort of sit around the table and sort of discuss the industry like moving forward. And one of the recurring themes is just like the lack of communication that the colleges seem to have with businesses. I've been trying to communicate to like the local colleges saying, I'm here, like, you know, let me try and be involved and like help out in, you know, whichever way that I can to sort of see, you know, what new blood we've got coming through. Yeah. And you're not really kind of getting anything back. And it's,
I think it's a real divide. I mean, having had a lot of conversation, I'm still really trying to get government backed colleges.
Yeah.
To come on here, but I have yet to find one, but I'll get there. If you're there, get in touch. And certainly, you know, kind of, London School of Barbering, you know, really compliant when you're looking and chatting with them. You know, we've had Phil Jarman on, who's got his top academy bloke. And obviously Men Fed. And, you know, we've spoken to a variety of people about the training, and there does seem to be this disconnect that doesn't quite bring through the front line, the barbers, the salons are connecting with the colleges.
Because you've got so many barbers out there that are running private education courses, like private educators like Phil Jarman, like Ian Harold, that truly care about the state of the industry and setting an example for like the new generation moving forward. Mm. But it just sort of feels that at the moment that you know, we're just not being heard too, like the government backed premises.
You know, I had a good chat with Adam Sloan, who's done a huge amount with that, who again, you know, I mean, look at the podcast, it's really good because of Adam, not because of me. Well, maybe. but it is really good. And he is saying, you know, reach out, talk to. But it's very difficult. You know,
it's really hard.
You know, we have a couple of really large colleges on this footprint. And, you know, it's very hard to get hold of anyone. And the quality of the education isn't great.
Yeah.
Even to the extent of us wanting to go in and go, well, look, you know, we'll work with you. We're happy to comply. We'd be happy to find some time to come in and educate within the college.
Yeah.
And it's really hard to move that through. So, you know, I guess maybe voices in numbers, the more we can contact our colleges, the more we can annoy them.
Absolutely.
We can maybe upturn it. But it's definitely us. I feel our industry is trying to knock on the door, and maybe we're knocking a bit quietly.
Well, I even had a guy last year approach us at the shop saying, you know, I want to do a hairdressing apprenticeship. You know, can I come to you? I said, yeah. I said, well, look, you know, is there a way that we can be like involved in your training? And so he then went back to the college, and he was getting nothing back from the college. And like, he was saying like, look, I've got a place where I can, you know, I can work. So it's either, but I couldn't at the time afford to put him on the payroll because the woven shop was still in its, you know, still quite new. And, I was saying to him like, look, just get them to give me a call and maybe we can have a chat about some form of like government backing, but it's
a real toughie. It is a difficult one. But you'll be open to the idea? I mean, you know,
100%.
Because obviously from that point of view, presumably your apprentices would then end up as your only employees.
Yeah.
Which would obviously come out of your pocket.
Yeah.
and which is great. Yeah. But, you know, I think that's something that as an industry, we really need to turn around because, you know, I mean, as good as there are people out there. You know, I'm speaking to so many when we recruit of people who are turning up that are self-taught.
Yeah.
And again, you know, I guess that, you know, some of their clipper work is okay, some of their scissor work is okay, but they're not getting the discipline of an apprenticeship. They're not covering every aspect. There's lots of holes in it. And is that really what we think of our own industry, that we're happy to kind of go, oh no, you can learn this at home in front of your YouTube and be done?
But I suppose the flip side to that as well is that I'm staggered at the level of skill that a lot of the newcomers have nowadays. Mm. Like, you know, there are people that are cutting for, I don't know, like 1, 2, or 3 years that I could only dream of being that good in the time that I was doing it. So I think, you know, there does seem to be.
I think the ones that are, I mean, I think if you're committed and you've got and you're getting good, it is because you are committed. You know, I think the definitely. Kind of, oh, I've got a natural flair for it. You've got to be invested.
Yeah.
And I think if you are invested, then if your teacher's going to be the person throwing a YouTube, throwing an online, then that's great. But you're not going to do it just learning a few fades and be done.
And it is amazing to sort of see, you know, I've got like one of my guys in particular, you know, he's just hungry for all that knowledge. And, you know, he just signs up for all the online courses and you can see that in his work, you know, and it's great to see.
No, that's fantastic. Yeah, it is. I mean, it's a wash with education out there now. So going forward, Teddy Edwards, 24. How's that go? What's the vision?
Well, so the vision really. So this year, I'm taking a bit of a year off from all the competitions and all the awards.
Oh, maybe
and
I should apply this year.
No, I've just decided to just to really double down on all three shops and just focus completely on like all the teams, all the customers, and just maximize the shops as much as I possibly can. We did have a project a couple of years ago where, you know, I partnered up with somebody and again, another carrot got dangled in front of me, where we were, you know, sort of sold a bit of a pipe dream, and it was, you know, we were going to open up multiple branches. But I come to the realization that's just not me. You know, I was spending more time in the office and less time behind the chair, and I hated every second of it. Since I've sort of made that commitment to be back out on the floor again and integrate myself within the teams again, I personally have been a lot happier because I'm doing what I enjoy doing and what I love doing. And I've just decided, right, we've got three shops. You know, now it's a case of just making them like watertight, the best that we can possibly make them, and just to really sort of set an example of how barbershops should be run. And that's what motivates me now. Mm. I've always been motivated by, as I said earlier, by being the best and doing the best that we could possibly be. And I just want to have a safe and secure watertight business, not just for me, but for the people that work underneath it. And in turn, that leads me to then enjoy my family more and you know, sort of, you know, not miss my boy playing football and be able to take my girl swimming, you know, and all those important things.
Okay. So not such a goal hanger this year.
No.
But sometimes I think as a business owner, it's really easy to get caught up.
It's
like
really
you're
easy.
You're like, oh, actually, yeah, I'll have more and more. I'll do that and I'll do that.
It's so easy to get dazzled by the stage work and, you know, and don't get me wrong. It's, you know, I was at Sound International, you know, on the Sunday last year, you know, massive honour. It was a huge honour, you know, I remember when I was an apprentice going to like Wembley Arena, you know, and sort of like watching people up on stage. And I, you know, to be asked to be there was, you know, was a massive honour. But I think, you know, it's easy to kind of get caught up in, you know, ambassador work and, you know, and all these things that take time out of your year. And, you know, and I've sort of said to myself, right, you know, I'm going to stick to my existing commitments that I have with Mataki because they support me, so I support them. And from here on in, over the next year, I'm just going to completely focus on the businesses and just, you know, sort them leaky buckets out.
Well, I think that you end up thinking you've got to be everywhere, all at once, and all that kind of stuff. Where actually, the thing that we all love, and I towed my old business out. I had a business for 20 years, and I shut down, and then came back on a different scale, because I'd forgotten that actually the bit that makes me happy is the stores.
Yeah.
I love being in the store. I love focusing on my haircuts. Yeah. I love doing that bit. That was what I started doing far too many years ago. And hopefully I've got good enough to do it that I'm allowed to and that kind of stuff. And it's really easy to get caught up. And I agree, you know, doing some pictures, getting the creative, trying to get that balance across a company is a really hard bit. It's a really, to keep that seesaw level, because you can suddenly go and you get your head turned and then everything goes in that direction.
Yeah.
And it's not always the right decision. Just because we own the place doesn't always mean we're making the right shouts. Sometimes you're like, actually, and to be brave enough to kind of go, you know what?
Yeah.
Let's go back over there and have another look.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, it's, you know, you see like money spending experts, you know, sort of saying that, you know, like with your monthly budget, you know, you've got to like allocate 10% to this and 70% to this. And I think, you know, the same goes in business is that, you know, is that I don't think there's anything wrong in sort of like doing external industry things, but don't allow it to consume you to a point where it has a negative effect on you not being there for the business. Yeah. So, you know, for me, I've sort of said to myself, right, here's my year as a whole. I'm happy to invest some time here and here. I'll still go to Barber Connect and I'll still go to Sun International. Like, but, you know, I'm just not going to unnecessarily load myself up with too many commitments that take me away from what is important, which is the business that puts the food on my table.
Well, I think that's it. You kind of hear, I think it was probably coined via X Factor or something. That it's 110%, 120, 150, 200%.
Yeah.
And it's a terrible... I'm not defending maths, but it's wrong.
Yeah.
but you know, we've got to bear in mind there is only 100% of Alex. There's 100% of your 7 days a week, and you've got, you know, a percent you want to give to your family, a percentage you want to give to your clients, and da 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 da. And I think you can just get torn. And if you are giving yourself 110%, you're just losing 10% from somewhere else. You're either leaving the salon alone too much, or leaving the chair alone too much, or you're leaving the family alone too much, or do you know what I mean?
And then your own friends.
And it's
gone.
You know,
I've definitely sort of been aware of, you know, not being around for friends at certain times because I've just been, you know, committed to the shops all the time, you know, and so, it, you know, especially in a day of like sort of, you know, looking after your mental health and looking after your well-being is that, you know, you have to allocate some time for yourself.
Yeah. Definitely. And I think that's the bit. And I think it's a very sensible move to stop and recalibrate and rethink.
And that's definitely what I'm doing. I'm just taking stock in what we've already got and going, right, let's just make that good.
No, mate, really appreciate a good, honest chat. It's been really lovely to meet you.
And you.
And I really appreciated your time.
Thank you so
much. Buddy, thanks very much. And hopefully we'll... see if we get you back for part three and part four in the rest of the year.
See you in 12 months' time.
Beautiful. Thank you very much. And that's it. Thank you for watching this episode of The Noble Barber. If you liked it, please do like and subscribe. If you've got comments of what we should be doing in future, please give us your questions and we'll try and find an expert to talk to. Or if you're the expert and you want to come on here and help, stay in touch, we'll get you on. Come and join us on the sofa.